things. I'm not, bulimia is not part of my experience. And anorexia, I tried desperately to restrict. I would binge and then restrict as long as I could until I had to eat again. I love the reading today because for me, I mean, no lie, there's a lot going on in the world to be upset about right now. And I don't even watch the news because I get emotionally overwhelmed. But it's so much easier for me to pay attention to what's going on all around me, the people I can't control, the situations that are out of hand. You know, it's easier to look at outside stimulus than to take a look within me at how I need to change to get along in the world. And when I got to Overeaters Anonymous, I was using food to numb all of that out, you know. I would just push it down with the food so I wouldn't feel the feelings. And so if you're new to OA or struggling, please just stay here. I've tried every diet, exercise program, pill, potion. Like I've tried all of it, and OA is the spiritual solution to my spiritual malady. I mean, I was disillusioned to think that if I just had the right diet and I just had the right exercise program, I could do this. And I'm addicted to everything, but there's extra shame in food addiction. There used to be for me. I've let go of that shame, but I had this false belief that it's just food. I should be able to handle this. I should be able to control myself. I should have willpower. I should be able to figure this out. And I couldn't figure it out without your help and divine grace, you know, finding a power greater than myself. I really have done every diet. I look back too. I think it's important for me when I share my story to include the childhood trauma. Like I think a lot of us were emotionally, verbally, sexually, physically abused and needed a way to comfort the trauma and pain and anxiety and panic of all of that childhood trauma. So, you know, outside help has been part of my journey for sure. But the first thing I had to do when I got here was put the fork down so I could do the spiritual program of action outlined in the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. And that was terrifying. I mean, I had this idea that I'd given up alcohol, cocaine, spree spending, random sex, chain smoking. You know, like I'd given up everything else. You can't have my cupcake. I like, F you, no way. And I got to gain and lose 60, 80, 90 pounds over and over again until I was ready. I don't know who I thought was trying to take it. It was it was me hanging on to it, me hanging on to the emotional comfort of food. And comfort food used to work. It did soothe me when I was a kid, especially sugar. I am a hardcore sugar addict. And once I eat anything that looks like dessert, the craving and the physical craving and the mental obsession are beyond my control, and I cannot stop. So when I got here, I had to put down sweets, recreational sugar, and chips and crackers, all of that munchy, crunchy, cheesy, greasy stuff. Like I eat that stuff in a blackout and then mourn when it's gone. Normal people don't mourn when a meal is over. And I still get sad if my food isn't as good as I thought it was going to be, or I didn't like it very, I'm like, it wasn't good. My friends are like, girl, you get to eat again in 4 hours. It's going to be okay. But they're not compulsive overeaters. They don't get how important food is to me. But I know abstaining from my alcoholic foods and food behaviors give me the opportunity to do the spiritual work I need to do to get along with other people, treat myself with the same kindness and love I've learned to treat other people, and have healthy connected relationships in the world. I really thought I didn't deserve to be loved until I looked a certain way. I had an idea in my head when I was younger, if I'm thin with a teeny waist and big boobs and long hair and white teeth, then I'm lovable. And dieting, compulsive dieting, I got there repeatedly. And I was still there when I got there. Like, it wasn't an outside job, it was an inside job. And I had to work these steps to do that. And I also picked up the stick after my dad put it down a long time ago. My dad was just like punitive and derogatory and judgmental and short. And I hadn't lived with my dad in a long time, and I still looked in the mirror and said, "What are you?" I would call myself names like fat and stupid and smack myself in the head and ask what the hell was wrong with me. And I had to stop doing that too and replace those things with affirmations. And I remember the first time I looked in the mirror and tried to say, "I love you" to myself, how hard that was. And now I can look at myself in the mirror and say, "I love you, and I'm going to take care of you," and mean it with every fiber of my being. My abstinence date is November 13th of 2010. I'm down about 85 pounds from my top weight. And I came here for the vanity and stayed for the sanity. And you all taught me that saying. Like, I was tired of gaining and losing weight. I didn't want to be fat anymore. Obese. Obese is the word on my medical chart. I'll walk in the doctor's office and she's like, looking up my, "Is this you?" Yeah, that's me. That's me with untreated compulsive overeating. I went to the doctor the other day, and I don't get on the scale. I'm an insane person on the scale. Like, if it's up a little bit, then I'm worthless. If it's down a little bit, yay, I'm skinnier. What can I get away with? Like, there's just not good information on my clothes fit. I know how much I weigh, but roughly. But the other day at the doctor, I didn't want to look, and then I glanced and it was in kilograms, and I'm like, "Oh, good, then I don't have to look." And then later in the day, I was like, "What did it say in kilograms? How do you convert kilograms to pounds?" Like, and I'm off to the races. And I got to laugh at myself and let it go. But I actually did weigh a little less than I thought I did. But it didn't matter. I was healthy. All my blood work was good. My clothes fit. Like, that was just a little field trip I didn't have to take. But I also give myself grace because I'm a compulsive overeater and I still have compulsive food thoughts and even food behaviors sometimes. I've heard people share, when they're sharing their story, that they were struck abstinent and they never had another compulsive food thought or extra bite of food ever again. And that sounds like a freaking fairy tale to me. Sign me up, but that's not my experience. I have never broken my bottom line abstinence and I have never binged in the last 14 years. But I think it's important to share that my weight has fluctuated a little bit. But now my weight fluctuations can be 5 pounds or 8 pounds up or down, not 80 or 90 pounds up or down. I've eaten the mashed potatoes instead of the green salad as a side because I didn't get the phone call from the guy, or I didn't get the job, or I had a bad set on stage. I was a performer when I was young, but compulsive overeating robbed me of the ability to perform because I desperately wanted your attention and approval, but I would not get on stage in an obese body because I was sure you were judging me. Self-deprecation, for me, is the most dangerous form of self-obsession, because I'm like, I'm not selfish. I'm of service. I'm a nice person in the world. But if all I'm thinking about is how much I weigh and what you think of me and what a piece of garbage I am self-obsessed. I cannot be of maximum service and have connected, beautiful relationships with other human beings when that's what I think about 24/7. And when I'm in the food, that tape never stops playing. Those messages just repeat on loop over and over again. My high school reunion is coming up, 40, and they asked me to MC, and it's going to be fun to see all of my friends I grew up with. But I was laughing at myself because I went to, I think it was my 20th class reunion in a size 20 dress, 20 for 20. And I was obsessed that everyone was making fun of me and noticed how fat I was and blah, blah, blah. And then I went back to my 25th class reunion at a, and had gotten thin and was all proud to be in a cute little dress and what. No one cared. No one cared what size my dress was at my class reunions. They were just happy to see me, and I missed part of that experience because I was thinking about that. And I lost my mom to ALS in 2018, and you all have walked me through everything, including my greatest fears, which were losing my mother and my dog dying, which happened back to back in 2018, without me having to take a compulsive bite of food, for me to be present, full of love and grace, and just feel the feelings. I mean, the good news and the terrifying news of being abstinent, sober with food, is I get to feel all my feelings. And some of them are scary and some of them are painful, but they all are part of my life experience and so much better than sitting in the house alone, hating myself and not wanting you to even lay eyeballs on me. That is such a lonely, terrible place to be, and I never want to go back there. When I started working the steps with my first sponsor, we got to my inventory and she said, "Oh, you're a people pleaser with low self-esteem, honey." And I was like, "What? No, I'm the tornado tearing through everyone's lives. I'm that person." And then I got to see that I do have low self-esteem. I believe some of the negative things that were said to me as a child. And I'm not stupid. I'm not lazy. I played sports to please my dad and thought I was clumsy and uncoordinated. And then in recovery, I got to start lifting weights and doing Pilates and saw that my body is actually really strong and I'm an athlete. I'm strong and coordinated. I believed that lie for 45 years. And it's simply not true. And I came for the vanity, but I appreciate the health more than anything, the sanity and the health. But to go to the doctor and like have all my blood work be normal and not have obesity at the top of my chart anymore is a miracle. It's a miracle. And I think if my knees and lower back hurt at 58 right now in this body, what would I feel like if I still had that 85 pounds on? What would life be like dragging that around? I pick up 2 20-pound dumbbells and think, I had four plus of these sitting on my chest while I was trying to breathe. When I got here, I wanted to be able to bend over and tie my shoes without breaking a sweat and huffing and puffing. That's where I was when I got here. Two antidepressants, high blood pressure medication, pelvic prolapse from gaining and losing weight so many times, acid reflux disease. Like my life is completely different physically, spiritually, and emotionally today. I love being able to have real relationships with other people, and I just had to put down the fork and pick up the pen and do it anyway. And I'm still reluctant and resistant to step work sometimes. I'll be like, I don't feel like it today. And then I remember I just told a sponsee, just pick up the pen and answer one question, write one sentence, and you'll be started. And then I get to say that to myself. I get to live by my own words because I love sponsoring other women in this program. And Janie, thanks for coming from New York. Emily, thanks for coming from Florida. Like, what watching other women do this spiritual work and blossom into the women that God always intended for them to be without the disease in the way is the greatest gift of my recovery. Like, it is awesome to see the light come on. Sometimes I think we see the progress in each other a lot more than we see it in ourselves. We're so hard on ourselves. We judge ourselves so harshly. So, if your lunch is a little too big today, just remember that feeling and that you don't want to feel that way at dinner and make a different choice next time and don't beat yourself up. Beating myself up kept me out of the rooms for a very long time, thinking I should be able to manage this. Kept me from recovery for a very long time. And I was in recovery in other programs, and I was as close to God as I could be with food in the way, dimming the sunlight of the spirit. And I did as much work as I could do high on food. And I couldn't have a bag of Doritos and a bag of M&Ms in my lap while I was doing my written step work in Overeaters Anonymous. Like, I just couldn't do that. I had to put the food down first. But the spiritual journey is amazing. And thank you to my friends in San Gabriel Valley for asking me to come and share. And I'm here in the San Fernando Valley, and it's LA is the birthplace of Overeaters Anonymous. We have so many meetings and so many resources that I'm so grateful for. And I never would have dreamed that the blessing of the pandemic would be connecting with OAs all over the world because we had the opportunity to pick up Zoom. And I love my live meetings, but I also love that we can all connect on Zoom. I mean, most of the women I sponsor are in other parts of the country. And I have friends in Ireland and Australia and the UK, like all over the world. Because we get to do meetings on Zoom. How am I doing on time? It seems like I've been talking a long time. Who's
We've
timing me?
got a little over 2 minutes left.
Oh, you're about to give me the 2 minute warning. Look at
Yeah,
me.
in 19 seconds.
And I love it. Look at me jumping in trying to take control. I think I might be a compulsive
Yeah.
overeater. Thank you for timing me. For being such a rebel out of control when I was young, I'm such a rule follower. Like, I'm like, oh, am I over time? I don't want to upset anyone. It's so funny to me what a rule follower I am.
2 minutes.
Thank you. When the first thought in my head is, I don't want to do that, or you can't make me. You all loved me when I walked in the rooms, suffering from obesity and self-hatred. You all loved me when the exercise bulimia and the restricting kicked in a little bit, and I got 10 pounds thinner in program than I meant to get, and skinny became my higher power. You asked me if I was sick, and I was like, they're jealous. No one was jealous. I looked like my face sunk in. It was not a pretty look. You all have loved me through losing my mom and my dog and the guy and the job without having to compulsively overeat. And for someone that soothed every uncomfortable feeling with a little Debbie or chased the ice cream man down the street as a little kid, to just be is the most phenomenal gift ever. And if you're struggling, I'll put my number in the chat. Please reach out to me and other people on the meeting who share their phone numbers. Like, if I could do this alone, I wouldn't be here having this conversation with you. Like, I would be out there somewhere else doing whatever the hell I wanted because I didn't have to do this work. I didn't want to have to do this work. And I am so grateful that I was willing to do this work to live the life I have today. And it's not about money, property, prestige, appearance. Watching my mom lose all motor, like movement, swallowing, speech. She lost everything to ALS. And I look at my little stretch marked, saggy parts body and say, thank you. Thank you for working. Thank you for taking care of me and taking me every place I need to go if I'm in fit spiritual condition, which is not when I'm on the scale at the doctor's office like I was the other day. But my lapses in sanity are momentary, not continuous. And I know that when I'm struggling, I can call any one of you my conduit to my higher power and find myself again, get grounded. So thank you all for my recovery in Overeaters Anonymous. Please reach out if you're struggling. And thank you for loving me until I learned how to love myself. Thanks for letting me share.